Let us pray. God, we may hear you through your word and see you in the faces of those you've created. Thank you for walking with us, guiding us, and loving us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture reading is Psalms 116, 1 through 3, and 10 through 17. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, friends, as we turn to the Word of God from the book of Luke, I first just want to set the stage for us. Earlier, I mentioned that next Sunday, May 24th, is the day of Pentecost on the church calendar, which means that we've still got one more week in the Eastertide season. So I thought it is an opportune moment to revisit a story from the risen Jesus. This morning we're going to hear the word of God from Luke chapter 24, a story that is known to us as the Road to Emmaus. And this is a story that took place on the evening of the resurrection. That early on in the day, as the Gospel of Luke tells us, women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus, to anoint his body, only to discover that Jesus wasn't there, where two men whose clothes gleamed like lightning appeared to the women and said, "Why is it that you look for the living among the dead? Jesus, he is not here, for he has risen." And so the women return and they share this story of all that has happened. But up until now, nobody really believes it. There's this crazy rumor going around that Jesus had risen, but at this point, nobody besides the women has actually seen Jesus until now on the road to Emmaus. So let's turn to Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has arisen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just really quickly, would it be helpful if I use the pulpit mic? Is there feedback? I don't know if I'm just the only one hearing it, or
we're good.
Okay, I'm sorry. It must be me. I don't know what's going on. Okay, so after the death of Jesus, we know that many of the disciples went into hiding. They locked themselves behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jews, afraid of what would happen, afraid that maybe they would meet the same fate that Jesus did. But here we have a story of two followers of Jesus who weren't hiding, but rather they went for a walk, a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. And there's a fair amount of mystery in this passage. We don't really know a whole lot of what's going on. We don't really know much about these two followers. We know that one of them was named Cleopas, and many people think that the other person on the road was Mary, who was the wife of Cleopas. We don't know why they were making this journey to Emmaus, but we do know that Scripture says it was a 7-mile walk, which is a pretty good jaunt, not overwhelmingly long, but for these two, I'm sure that those 7 miles felt like 70, because this was a slow, meandering walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as these two were trying to process, trying to understand all that had happened. You know, when I was a kid, Easter was a really big deal at our house. We had a big family gathering, as many families do. And kind of the hallmark event of our family Easters is that we would have an Easter egg hunt, which is that's a common thing to do. But ours was a little bit different. Because the thing about our family Easter egg hunt is it was just like wildly competitive, to the point where even after all of us grew up and like got into our teens and 20s, we kept doing it. Like it wasn't just like a thing to do for kids. We were serious about it. So when it came time for the egg hunt, I mean, there was nothing Christ-like about this egg hunt. It was like a mad dash. My sister and I and all my cousins throwing elbows to get outside the sliding glass door. It was quite the scene, and remains that to this day. And oftentimes at our family egg hunt, there was a bit of a twist. My father would often hide an egg in some place that was almost impossible to get to. Like it would be like way up in a tree, or it would be on the roof, somewhere where you really had to kind of spend some time to get it. So that far away distant egg sometimes would have like $50 in it. And other times would have absolutely nothing.
So when you stepped outside and you laid eyes on that egg up in the tree, you had to make a choice. Do I scurry about and find all of the ones on the ground, or do I go for it? See, I like to go for it. And so there were a couple of times where I'd spend, 10, 15 minutes working my way, I'd be like a 10-year-old kid, working my way up this tree to lay hold of this egg, only to get up there and have absolutely nothing. No eggs at all to show for it for that Easter. Now, all these followers of Jesus, the disciples, had put all of their eggs in the Jesus basket, so to speak. And in these moments, they felt like now they had absolutely nothing. Their Lord, their Savior, their Master, their Teacher, their Friend was gone. And presumably not coming back. They had pinned all of their hopes on Jesus and then had watched him get put up on Calvary's cross. This walk to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion, this walk to Emmaus was a walk of disillusionment, a walk of disappointment, a walk of despair, a walk that was riddled with broken dreams and unmet expectations. For these disciples, for these two on the road to Emmaus, Good Friday wasn't good. Good Friday wasn't good, not even a little bit. But this walk to Emmaus takes a turn, as we see in the text, when the resurrected Jesus came to walk with them. But Cleopas and his companion have no idea that it's Jesus. And I kind of appreciate that Jesus just walks up and just kind of interrupts their conversation. He just comes up and, hey, what is it that you guys are talking about? And like I said, there's so much mystery to this passage, I can't help but wonder, the biggest question around this passage is, how is it that they didn't know that Jesus was walking with them? There's some theories around this. Like I heard one theory that said that, they were walking due west, and so the sun was in their eyes. And so they didn't recognize it. Somehow, like the sun being in your eyes, I don't find that fully convincing, but we don't fully know. Why is it that they didn't realize that it was Jesus that was walking with them? Because they were his followers. They knew what he looked like. They knew the sound of his voice. And on this walk to Emmaus, it says that Jesus even gives them a lesson in the scriptures. It says, verse 27, that he explained to them God's story of salvation beginning with Moses and all the prophets. This was a long conversation that these folks were having. But Jesus wanted these two to see that all of God's promises, that all of the Hebrew prophecies would find their yes in him, but they still don't understand, they don't realize, they don't see who it is that they are talking to. Until they sat down to dinner. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew that it was Jesus. Their eyes were opened and their hearts were burning, because all of a sudden they were face to face with resurrection hope, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And the text tells us that after this, that they went on another walk. That they left Emmaus and went back to Jerusalem. And something tells me that this walk went much quicker than the first. That walking to Emmaus, these disciples were discouraged and hopeless. But now, as they walked back to Jerusalem, they were filled with fervor and joy. Jesus and these two disciples shared a meal together in the village of Emmaus. But the interesting thing is that no one is actually quite sure where the village of Emmaus was. It says in the chapter that it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but that's really about all that we know. I don't know, if you have a map in your Bible, there might be a location for Emmaus, probably west of Jerusalem, but really that's only a guess. Biblical archaeologists have narrowed it down to about 9 possible locations for the village of Emmaus. So simply put, we don't know jack about Emmaus. And so over the years, some biblical scholars have kind of coined a phrase about the town of Emmaus. Emmaus is nowhere because Emmaus is everywhere. Emmaus is nowhere because Emmaus is everywhere. Emmaus is everywhere, meaning that this walk to Emmaus that here in Luke 24 describes a road that all of us have walked. And I'm not sure if this is what the gospel writer Luke had in mind, but I think there's certainly a lot of truth to this, that each one of us, we all know the road to Emmaus. We know it all too well. We ourselves, we've walked that road of disillusionment, that road of disappointment, the road of fear and anxiety, of grief and lament. We have known broken dreams and unmet expectations. In verse 21, it says that Cleopas had this to say. He said, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And those four words, "but we had hoped," we know those words all too well. But we had hoped that things would get better. But we had hoped that the treatment would work. But we had hoped that the pain would go away, but we had hoped that grief wouldn't last this long. But we had hoped that the kids would be okay. But we had hoped that we'd have more time with our loved one. But we had hoped that the future would be better and brighter than this. But we had hoped that our society would heal. You know, I spend a large portion of my week in a hospital, visiting people who are walking this very road. And you know, when people learn what I do for a living, there's a pretty consistent response to that. And people will say, "Oh, that must be so sad." And that's not wrong. Honestly, that's not wrong. Like, a lot of times it is very sad, but what I always tell people is that there's another side to it. And it's this, that within the walls of a hospital, oddly enough, I have seen and experienced more hope there than I have anywhere else. And it surprises me sometimes that one of the places where suffering is most prominent is also the place where I've glimpsed hope beyond belief. Now, well, why is that? Friends, it's because on the Emmaus Road is where God is most fully present with us. In our fear, in our pain, in our grief, in our disappointment, those are the very places where God longs to meet us. Those are the places where God is most present with us. And it makes sense, because you've known this if you've had the blessing of raising children in your life. With your kids, when are you most present to them? It's in their fear. It's in their distress. And those are the moments. It's the Emmaus Road where God comes close. And as I've said, friends, this is a road that we all walk, no matter who we are, no matter our circumstance, no matter who we are, we will find ourselves on the Emmaus Road at some point. The Bible is clear about these things, but there is good news. And this is the good news of our faith. This is the part of the story that we cannot afford to miss. The good news is that Jesus walks that road with us, but not only that, that Jesus not only walks with us, but speaks over us promises of resurrection and new life. The good news is that the road to Emmaus is not the end of our story. That disappointment will not be the author of our story. That disillusionment will not be the author of our story. That fear and anxiety, these things will not be the end of our story. And thanks be to God Thanks be to God in Jesus that not even death will be the end of our story. Because if we walk with Jesus, if we walk with Jesus, he will always lead us in the direction of resurrection and new life. The Emmaus Road is a difficult one to walk. But Jesus walks it with us, my friends, promising that there will be a day where our sorrow will turn to joy. So friends, Jesus walks with us. And that is good news. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do rejoice in this reality that you are present to us. And Lord, we have walked this road before. This road where you are most fully present with us, but oddly enough, the Emmaus Road is when your presence is also easiest to miss. We are so often blinded by our circumstances. And yet, Lord, in this moment, we remember and we recall your goodness to us. You remember that you are with us in our pain, in our grief, in our fear, in our disappointment. God, there is nowhere that we can go in this life where you will not pursue us. So God, we take this moment now and we rest in your love and in your care. Thank you, God, for being with us, for walking with us, for being our God in all times and all places. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.